But moving on, it's 5 years today since the historic referendum result to repeal the Eighth Amendment. But is the political debate about to be reopened? A government commissioned report recently recommended many changes, including the removal of the mandatory 3-day wait period for women. But some cabinet ministers, they want to wait up to a year before implementing the report's recommendations, if at all. And Breed Smith, you had a motion around this before the Dáil just a short time ago. What was in it? What were you looking for?
Well, it was a bill actually to amend the legislation to improve abortion access in Ireland. And the bill, coincidentally, and it was pure coincidence because that's sitting waiting to be read for the last year and a half, it just got pulled out of the lottery on the same day as the fifth anniversary repeal. But coincidentally, Dr. Mary O'Shea's report makes some of the same recommendations as the measures that we have had in the bill. The first thing is to remove the 3-day wait. It's patronising, it's insulting, there's no medical excuse for it, and it is forcing mostly women to take the pill illegally, to take the abortion pill illegally, women and girls, but a lot of them having to travel. We also have a measure in there to decriminalise abortion. The criminalisation of abortion is the only aspect of medicine that is written into criminal law. Every other aspect of medicine becomes a civil matter. So doctors who have to make very hard decisions about the life or the threat to the life or the risk to the life or mental health of a woman have to prove without doubt that this is what needs to happen. And that's a very difficult decision to make when you have a chill factor of a possible 14-year sentence hanging over you. The most tragic case, though, and our bill would do this, is the 28-day limit on fatal fetal anomaly that the bill has imposed, or that the legislation has imposed, which means, again, that if that doctor, the doctors can't say, oh, after birth, this fatal fetal abnormality of this child would not survive more than 28 days, not 29, not 30, then we are removing that to say up to a year of viability after birth, because doctors are really suffering, women are suffering, mostly women are suffering more than, or up to half of those who've had to travel, and 700 have had to travel abroad for abortion care since repeal. Up to half of them were fatal anomalies.
Well, that was the bill, and you raised these issues in the House earlier with the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin.
This is a sensitive issue. People have different views on this issue, and those views go deep with people. So the idea that you'd have an Oireachtas committee to look at this in a detailed way shouldn't be a surprise or shouldn't be attacked. And you're attacking that. I'm not through the chair looking for confrontation. I'm not attacking anybody's motivations or bona fides in respect of this. But I do respect the fact that this is a legislative assembly with people who will be asked in due course potentially to vote on or have a view on legislation relating to this area. At the very least that should happen is that the report should be examined by the Oireachtas. I find it extraordinary that you're saying those who are actually doing the legislation should do no examination at all.
Rita Cronin Sinn Féin, where do you sit on this? Do you support Breed Smith's bill, or do you support the Taoiseach's proposition there that this should be examined by an Oireachtas committee?
We will be voting against the government amendment that the government put to Breed's bill.
Which would extend to at least a year for any of the recommendations in Dr. Mara O'Shea's report to be implemented.
We believe that the bill should go through to committee, and it should be, any anomalies should be trashed out there. But you know, it was 2018 since Kildare for Yes went out and campaigned for healthcare for women, so they would have access to healthcare in the case of an unwanted pregnancy. To this day, there are still counties across the state where they don't have access. We would be looking for the government to, the people went out and voted in 2018 on this so that women would have access to healthcare. And the fact that you know, we still don't have safe access zones. This 3-day wait, that is absolutely paternalistic. Women don't make a decision like this lightly. They have that decision made before they go to the doctor. If they want to go to a doctor to discuss options, they are well capable of deciding to go back in 2 days, 3 days, whatever many days they decide. It's completely paternalistic. I don't agree with the 3-day wait. It also makes things very difficult for women where there isn't where they can't access abortion services in their county, and they have to travel to access this. And people already went out and voted. They said they don't want women to have to travel to access this healthcare. So we want the government now to do a proper geographical mapping of the state so that we can identify where there are gaps, and we can make sure that, you know, there has to be, if there's somebody where there's no provision, or there's they have a problem with, you know, the government should be able to set up hubs, healthcare hubs in areas.
When do
so
you want
that women
to see these
access
recommendations in then? The government looking for a year perhaps? When do you think that committee next week?
I believe Dr. O'Shea is coming into the health committee next week. I think this can be trashed out pretty quickly, and we should be getting out of it. And we won't be supporting the government's motion to delay this for a year.
You wanted to jump in, Brian.
Yeah, I did. I think the position that the government has taken is an interesting one, because it's hard to prove, because the argument that Leo Varadkar has made and others have made in government is that they would be uncomfortable removing the 3-day waiting period, principally because their argument appears to be that a lot of people voted for repeal on the basis of the 3-day waiting period, but we can't prove that.
Yeah, and just let's hone in on the 3-day waiting period. This is perhaps the area where there's most political contention around at the moment. Barry Andrews, what's your view on it?
Well, I've read Mary O'Shea's, I only read the executive summary, to be honest, and I can see that, I must say I agree with almost everything that she has recommended, frankly, including what she proposes is that the 3-day reflection period would be the right of a woman, not a duty.
If you agree, why wait a year to implement what she's telling you to do?
Well, I'm more sort of a different side of this argument than a lot of people in my party and other people in the parliamentary party. But I think that what we learned from the whole exercise of participative democracy around the repeal is that, you know, it was done in such a deliberative way. It brought a lot of people along. As Brian says, we're not sure how many people were convinced by the 3-day issue, or the 3-day reflection. We don't know how many people changed in the last 12 months of the campaign. So there are people there who were persuaded through the Citizens' Assembly. They were impressed by the Oireachtas.
So what is the time for then?
Just finish this point. They were impressed by the Oireachtas committee that made their recommendations to the government, and they were impressed by the campaign and the way it was pitched, and it was pitched so carefully, and it is a sensitive issue. So I would like to see this done urgently. I think I'd like to see it done very soon. It's a review process that is mandated by the legislation. The legislation came into force in 2019. This review has been mandated. It was discussed in cabinet last month. And I think it's important when we have legislative changes that a legislative Oireachtas committee would look at it in advance. Where there are non-legislative changes proposed by Mary O'Shea, the HSE has already set up a working group to implement the recommendations.
You might be fully in step with your parliamentary party on this, but there are people who voted against repealing the Eighth Amendment as well. You represent them as well, and these safeguards are important to them. The three-day wait is important, and the allegation in the Dáil from some quarters was you're throwing it out pretty glibly, is what some were suggesting.
No, there's nobody throwing it. I think that's why the Taoiseach wants to make sure that the Oireachtas Committee has an input into this whole process.
The Oireachtas Committee will have an input into it. I'll be sitting on it now next week when Mary O'Shea reports. Mm. But what the Health Committee have said in the Oireachtas, that they will bring in Mary O'Shea, they'll spend a few hours quizzing her and finding out the basis of her report, her research, her recommendations, why they matter and all the rest of it. But they are not going to recommend the legislation. That is up to the Cabinet and the Government to come out with a piece of legislation that will amend the existing laws to facilitate what is required, unless they don't mind seeing another 200 plus women and girls having to travel over the next year. And just to correct Barry, the 3-day wait, the 28-day limit on fatal fetal anomaly and the criminalisation abortion were not recommended by the Citizens' Assembly or by the Joint Oireachtas Committee. They were thrown in by the existing government at that time to appease their Conservative membership. And there are certain members who are still members of the cabinet who in particular insisted on those measures.
There are people, and we did hear it in the debate from independent TD Carol Nolan. She said data that she got from the HSC showed 8,876 abortions were carried out in 2022. And she said that that figure pointed to what she termed an utter failure of government to provide adequate safeguards and pathways to positive alternatives.
Well, Carol Nolan campaigned against the Eighth Amendment. She was one of the biggest voices, loudest voices against
it. The point is there are people who do have concerns still.
Well, there may be people who have concerns, but the government should be concerned. It's their job to look after the health and welfare of women and girls in this country. And they seem to be saying, we look at this again in a year's time. Reality, what's going on here, it's a veiled cover not to deal with this issue until we're slap up and bang against the next election because they're worried about their Conservative backyard. And if they had the brains and the guts, they would deal with it now. Mary O'Shea's report was commissioned by the government. It was written into law that we needed a review. They got the review and now they're saying, hang on here, we can't deal with this.
Okay, so Mary O'Shea is a barrister, a highly, highly regarded barrister. She has produced a 149-page report, and it's not a question of sitting Mary O'Shea down for a couple of hours and asking her a few questions and then writing legislation. Let's not be naive about it. This is an
but
area
the Health Committee will not write the legislation.
It is transposing this into national law in an area that is obviously sensitive. And why one of the main reasons the repeal was successful was that the approach was taken was not to say we want to change everything. We just want to acknowledge the changes that have already happened in Ireland.
I said it to the Tánaiste today. I don't expect them to turn the ship around overnight, but they have clear evidence here that women and girls are still being forced to travel when that was one of the reasons that touched people's hearts is saying no,
and
they should get the care at home.
A key part of that, Barry Andrews, which was touched upon by Raida Cronin in Mary O'Shea's report, 9 of 26 counties in the Republic, there are fewer than 5 GPs providing abortion services. So those rural anomalies means there's not even a 3-day wait for some women. It could be up to a week before they get access to the service that they are looking for.
Yes, I mean the access issue is it was very well made in the report, and it pointed out that of the 19 maternity hospitals, I think there's only abortion services in maybe 9 of them.
11.
And 11 of them, sorry.
Do those rural anomalies and then
the GP services.
Do they not point to the fact that there needs to be a greater urgency to deal with this issue rather than what Breed Smith is alleging, a kicking of the can down the road?
According to the report, there are 422 GP services providing abortion services in the country. So it is clear that it is patchy, and there are areas, particularly in the Midlands border northwest area, where there are gaps. And that's why we're having this review, and that's why we want to make sure that's why we have this review. It's required under the legislation, and it has brought all of this information to the fore. We also know that there's a lot of issues in certain maternity hospitals about the lack of multidisciplinary teams for diagnostic issues, which may have something to do with the numbers that are continuing to travel. So it's not just a case of the legislation, of course, and that's why the HSE working group are there to try and address the resource issues and the distribution, the even distribution of resources around the country that don't require legislation.
There has been kind of the research and the report now has been well flagged for a good period of time at this stage, and it's not like the government couldn't have guessed at where this report was going. You know, a lot of this stuff we knew about, and one of the key parts of the report that jumped out to me was that there were women who were coming up towards the 12-week period, couldn't get their appointment, and then had to come back.
And that points again to the rural anomalies. Raida Cronin, what would be your grave concern? We mentioned those figures that you touched upon. 9 of 26 counties, fewer than 5 GPs offering a service. Some women, as Brian says, struggling to access this service. So what would be most concerning for you?
Well, the fact that, like, I campaigned for this referendum, and when I was knocking on doors across urban North Kildare and rural North Kildare, the people weren't talking about the 3 days. They weren't. They were talking about trusting women. Nobody brought up the 3-day wait list at the door, as far as I can.
Just for the record, I didn't say that. I think it was the Taoiseach that said that.
The Taoiseach, yeah.
Taoiseach said it, yeah.
And the Taoiseach.
People were ready to trust women. I remember the day I canvassed in rural North Kildare. I came home and I said, this referendum is won. You know, Ireland has decided that we are going to trust women.
Is it reflexive conservatism within the government then? Because in lieu
absolutely,
of, in lieu of
yes,
actual
absolutely.
Polling figures, very, I don't
you know,
really
the
understand
three,
the
three main leaders, but, I think there is conservatism
Well, I'm sure
there.
That they would argue
and,
that perhaps
you know,
they
one
don't.
Of the, one of the greatest joys and really that I've had over the last couple of years is the young women that I campaigned with. They're all having their babies now, and you know it's marvellous. And I think that there's still this little element of not trusting women in this kind of patriarchal state we have, where they feel that they still know best. And you know,
Breed Smith, before we move on again, those figures from Carra alone, 8,876 carried out last year, and some people we heard in the debate argued that people were persuaded to vote yes on the idea that the abortions would be safe, legal and rare, and they might feel perhaps put out by that figure that she has obtained.
Well, the only evidence we have about why people voted the way they did is actually RTE's exit poll. You haven't gone around to question everybody as to why they voted the way they did. People should Google it. It's a very interesting exit poll. It's long, it's comprehensive, and it shows that nearly 80% of people who came out of the polling station said they voted yes, asked the reasons why, said to give women a choice, to trust women and give them a choice. Now, having said that, we did fantastically well out of repeal. It has utterly changed the landscape in this country. It put behind us a dark past for women.
You know, more protests if you don't see movement.
Absolutely, because what's happening here is the most marginalised and the saddest case are being neglected by the state. Marginalised teenagers, young girls, migrants, those suffering from domestic violence, those in rural Ireland that can't access GPs, they're the ones that are having to travel and are suffering the most. And on the other hand, the very tragic stories of fatal fetal anomaly families having wanted pregnancies that tragically have to travel for abortion care, that will emerge again.
Some people getting in touch here. Geraldine says, healthcare for women still being debated by men judging women. At 72, there would be need to be a star in the East for me to conceive, and I want every woman who wants to have one to have an abortion. Anyone concerned need not have an abortion, says Geraldine. Another one here, Joe in Wexford, he says, I find it hard to believe that a 3-day waiting period would cause someone to travel. While another person here says, I don't think you've given enough consideration to Leo's discomfort around this issue, that in reference to the Taoiseach's remarks. Back in a moment.
Text 51551. The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1.